going on, everybody? You are listening to the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and in this week's episode, you're going to want to check it out. We're going to check in with Kim as she's on the road. And then, since people have been submitting questions and scenarios, we're actually going to answer an audio call on this week's episode, submitted about communication frustration. And lastly, coming up, we're going to have Kim give us a tip on creating a safe place for conflict resolution. And you might be intrigued at what she suggests. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and/or mental illness.
Hey, Kim. How's it going today?
It's good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's another, you know, muggy, humid day in Dallas. What about you? Where are you?
I am in Des Moines, Iowa.
That's the capital of Des Moines. All right, all right.
Yes.
What are you doing up in Iowa?
What am I doing here? I don't know. So, my husband and I had the brilliant idea to take an RV trip to Maine.
Okay.
So we're going to be on the road for the next 6 to 8. I guess we've already been out for a week, so about 8 more weeks. I love Des Moines. So we went to, you know, we're kind of taking our time getting there because I have to work. So I have to have days that I am just working. And so we're parked in some places that, you know, I might not have chosen necessarily. And so we were in Omaha for a while, and which was also very pretty and nice. Ooh. But Des Moines, have you ever been here?
I have.
It's so clean.
Yeah.
it's almost like they sweep and mop the streets and sidewalks. Like,
man, it's very clean. Yeah.
It's very clean. I'm sure winters are rough here, but summer, right. I could summer here for sure. And then we were actually cooking in the Dutch oven outside over hot coals, you know, so.
Ooh.
I felt like a pioneer woman, man. Like, I'm out there. It's so cool. It's so cool. I've been to bluegrass festival and farmers markets, and yeah, it's been fun. It's a slower pace.
Yeah.
And so learning how to slow down has been interesting. So.
That sounds fun.
It is
82 degree weather, 60 at night, and a Dutch oven. I think I could do that. Well, thanks for being on the show today. What I wanted to do is really kind of get an inside look about what is life like in the RV. I know that you said you can have a whole podcast series on episodes of things that happen in the RV and things that you've learned. So I'm really interested, like, what are some things that you've been experiencing that are new, and what are some things that are not so new?
So what's new? It's hard to find new when you've been married for 35 years. It's kind of hard to find new.
A lot of people feel that way, or could feel that way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I kind of know what to expect. So I think to keep things fresh, you just have new experiences. And I think that's the big one that I've learned is, you know, the older we get, the more set in our ways we get. And the longer we've been together, we automate each other. We've talked about that before in the past. We automate each other, and it becomes more about chores and routine and drudgery. And when you get in an RV and it's a whole different place every few days.
Yeah.
Right. It's like being explorers together. Like, it's just more fun, and you see each other differently. We're lighter with each other.
Yeah. And you're in a different spot, a more, you know, tight spot. I mean, how many feet did you say the RV is?
I'm guessing it's around about 300 square feet, probably.
Wow, it's like a studio apartment.
Yeah. My husband, you know, he may laugh at me and say it's half that, but it's small. Wow. It's small. But I will tell you, like, and the other thing that I thought about just today, I've been a lot less stressed around here. And I'm like, why? Why am I less stressed? I'm doing more. Like, I'm cooking more and I'm cleaning more because, you know, the RV gets dirty, and it's like, why am I more joyful about it? And I think what it is one, there's a lot less stuff. We have a lot less stuff. You know, we have in Texas, we all have big houses, right? And so we just pile them up with crap that we may not ever use or see again and just store it in a closet. And and so here you can't just go buy and buy and buy or hoard. You don't have that much room. So you have to only have what is useful to you, or what brings you a lot of joy, right? And so it's lightened me. That has lightened me. And even the day-to-day chores are more fun. I don't know why. Now that
really?
Yeah. I think because there's one, there's less to take care of and clean.
Yeah.
I think there's that. But it just feels more manageable. Everything feels more manageable.
Well, cool. Well, I know that there have been some people that have been emailing or calling in to ask some questions, that some of the things that they're kind of walking through or navigating. And yeah, I'm wondering if you'd like to bring one of those to the table today.
Sure. Let's play the one that's, I think there's an audio one, right?
What do you do when you feel like you've articulated as best you can, and maybe even to the extent of your limitations, how you feel about a situation, but your partner isn't hearing you clearly or understanding what you're trying to say? Like, what's the next step to resolve that type of communication barrier?
Okay, so we got a question about a communication barrier. So like, we know that all the things that we say are never interpreted 100% accurately, taken 100% accurately, because we're flawed humans, right? Okay. So there's this understanding that what we communicate is not always going to land in the way that we mean to. And so, you know, this couple is having some issues talking about things, and the person is frustrated that they are not getting through their partner. They say that their partner's not hearing them. Just kind of first impressions.
So when I first heard it, the thing I thought was, when you say your partner's not hearing you, is it that they're not agreeing with you? And so you're thinking, well, surely they're not hearing me. You know, and that's one issue, but I agree with you. I don't think that's what this caller's saying. I think she's saying, that I'm trying to communicate one thing and they're receiving another. And so that's something different. And, you know, there's a couple of reasons why right off the bat that I see that play out. One is when you are in a relationship where there's been a lot of hurt or betrayal or pain or whatever, it's easy to always receive whatever your partner's given you from that lens of suspicion and doubt, like I'm not really trusting what's coming and knowing how to take it.
Mm.
And so that's a problem. But also, I mean, I would make sure if this is happening a lot, if you're trying to have a conversation with somebody, your partner, and they are taking it wrong or poorly or just not getting it, I would spend some time looking at how I'm delivering the message. So with every communication, there's the words that you say, and then there's the words that you don't say. And the words that you don't say are more important.
What do you mean by that?
So I can tell you, I can come home and say, hey, John, the pizza's in the oven. And, you know, you're like, okay, the pizza's in the oven, right? What's it say? That's what the words say. Now, if my body language comes in or my attitude comes in and I've got a tight face and I'm like, the pizza's in the oven.
Oh, man.
Right? God, it's in the oven. I'm sending out a different message.
Right.
And so I would be checking, like, what's my body language like? What's my tone like? What, you know, I may think that my intensity, I may think that I'm in line, but maybe I'm not. So I'd kind of check that.
Yeah.
And then if it's my partner that's truly, it's not landing well or right, I that's more conversations around that in particular. Like, what's going on with you when you hear me talk to you? Is it about the same topic that this happens? Is it like an issue that you all can't get past because you've not worked out some kind of resolution around it.
Yeah.
Right. And so you might need some help from a professional to kind of get through that part of the conversation. Or maybe your partner's feeling unloved, unliked, unseen. And so anything that you're giving them, they're not quite sure how to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think? You
know, yeah. What's coming to mind is, I mean, we should always be mindful of how and what we say. And also there's also the other person, like the receiver, who has to be open to hear something. And sometimes I've seen many couples, one person take things personally, even though the conversation or the direction or the command or the statement wasn't personal, but the partner on the receiving end took it personally. And that's when feelings get hurt and people don't feel understood. They feel misunderstood. They feel like they're not getting their point across. And so what would you say to a situation like that?
So the phrase, if it's hysterical, it's historical. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, I never heard that.
So when your response is out of the range of normal for an event, like somebody that's overly sensitive or whatever,
yeah,
that's a wound that comes from something in your past. That's a trigger.
Oh, okay.
So that's, again, like what I said, and you know, it might be time to explore a little bit about what's going on with that. So, you know, maybe it's some kind of word you're using, or it's about a particular event where your partner's feeling vulnerable or, you know, overly exposed, and you're bringing it up. And so they're reacting as if you're trying to really hurt them, or, you have bad intentions or whatever. And so,
yeah,
you know, that's something going on. That's something going on that might not have anything to do with you at all.
Yeah. So you said if it's hysterical, it's historical, or likely it's historical. And yeah, what that's pointing to is the fact that there might be some issue or situation in the past that's triggering this kind of reaction.
Yes. Yes.
You know, what's really fascinating to me is that for someone not to react and to slow down enough to respond and inquire and be curious, that's going to take a lot of mindfulness. That's going to take a lot of energy.
Yeah.
I don't, from the couples that I've seen, you know, that's always been really difficult to slow down the conversation enough to become curious.
Right. Because once you get triggered, your partner has, let's say your partner steps into it, doesn't know what they stepped into, and the receiver gets activated or emotional or whatever, dysregulated, immediately you become dysregulated, or you get activated. Now you've got two people who are not showing up at their best, and they're just reacting off one another.
Right? Yeah.
It just takes one, though. Just if one person can just take a breath, like, whoa, hold it.
Yeah.
It's gone sideways. I don't know how this happened. Let's take a breath. Let's take a breather. I love you. I know you love me. Let's try to regroup. My husband and I had phrases like, okay, look, I need a do-over. Somehow I stepped in something here, or, whoa, wait a minute. That didn't feel good to hear that. So we literally say, I want a do-over.
And there's,
yeah. And it's kind of like a reset.
I like that. So someone like the person who is speaking can say, oh, you know what? That came out not the way that I intended. Can I get a do-over?
Yeah.
And the receiver can also say, yo, I don't think I like that. Maybe I'm misinterpreting. Can I get a do-over?
That's right.
Okay. That's actually really cool. Yeah. It's like a reset. It's like a giant reset.
Mm-hmm. I did this today with a client. I saw a client today, and I told them I wanted them to create a space in their home that they don't have a lot of bad memories there. Like, there's not a lot of fighting that happens there. A place they feel safe and secure. And honestly, for most couples, it's probably not the bedroom. That's where we have some of our biggest fights as couples, mm-hmm. because it's private. Mm-hmm. So some couples, it's their bedroom closet. This couple, it was the media room. Another couple, they'll sit in the bathtub. in their bathroom. Really? Yes. And so that becomes the space. We're going to make that space sacred. And so what that means is we're not distracted when we're in that space. We don't have our phones with us. And we both agree that we're going to be very relational here. We're not going to argue. We're not going to debate. We're not going to try to be right. We're not going to get activated. And there's something about creating that space. And so when you're with someone and you have difficult conversations and you say, hey, let's go to our place.
Yeah.
Right? Wherever that place is. It's this reminder that we're going to show up here as our best selves. It could be really powerful. And so if you get in there and it starts to get tough or like it might be going south, I'm like, leave the space because we're not going to poison that air in that space. We're going to let that space remain sanctimonious. Sanctimonious? No, sanctify that space. And so, yeah. And so if it gets bad, you have to leave the space.
Yeah.
Right. And that will sometimes help couples to kind of come. Listen, we all show up differently in different places. I put a suit on you and I put you in an office situation and you're going to show up differently than you do in t-shirts and a pair of shorts.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so with couples, we oftentimes give our best to our coworkers and our bosses and our kids' teachers and our doctor. Yeah. We give them all our best and then we come home and we just dump the bad stuff on each other.
Yeah.
And this is just a way to go, not here, not now. This is us. This is our space. And we're going to show up here and do this well. It's pretty powerful.
I think that's really cool. I love that. I've never heard of that, but it makes sense to have a space where you say, hey, look, we both agree that this place is for us and for us to show up for each other.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's really intimate.
We're not going to pick on each other in here. We're not going to criticize each other in here. We're not going to blame and shame and get mad.
Yeah.
You know, this is our place to come with our very best for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really like that. I'm going to use that.
You use that. You go right in.
I learned so much from these episodes.
Good.
I really do. Well, cool. Well, from what we've talked about today, you know, we talked about how sometimes whenever our partners are not receiving something, whether it's, you know, misunderstandings or not feeling like they're being heard. You know, we talked about being mindful, slowing down the conversation enough to be curious. Mm-hmm. We also talked about watching what we say and what we don't say. Mm-hmm. Right. In the way that we say things like our tone, our facial expressions, all of our nonverbal communication. But then we also talked about creating this sacred space where we can show up for one another, giving each other the benefit of the doubt.
Amen, brother.
And showing up for the relationship and saying, hey, we can do this here. And if something tries to poison this, not here.
Not here. Right now. Not today, Satan.
Not today. That's not today, Satan. I love it. No, those are some really good recommendations for those people that are listening that are in a similar situation. I mean, I hope that you guys were able to take something from that. The sacred space. I like that.
I do too.
I like that. That's really.
We could have named the podcast that.
The sacred space. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Kim, any last thoughts, any last encouragements for our listeners who are struggling with communication?
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Yeah.
Don't give up. Like, I see a couple of things. I see people, they just quit trying. They just quit trying. It's hard. And they'll tell themselves, what's the point? They're not going to be heard anyway. Or it's not going to be worth what I'm going to have to pay.
Oh, wow.
You know, to say what I want to say. And your job as a partner is to be known, and it's to know your partner and be known by your partner. That's your job.
That's good.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
All right, guys, that wraps up this week's episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. A friendly reminder to all those who are interested in submitting a question, feel free to email askhim@themarriageplace.com. Once again, askhim@themarriageplace.com, and you might be featured on the show. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and we will see you guys next week. Peace.